The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Fourth Canto, Chapter number 27, Text number 28, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari. Recorded on October 2nd, 2016, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maya Nirupita Tubhyam Pati Atma Samadina Na Abhinandati Loka Ayam Tvam Abhadram Asammatam Maya Nirupitas Tubhyam Patteratma Samadina Nabinandati Lokoyam Tvamma Badramma Sammatam Mayana Rupitas Tubhyam Patteratma Samadina Nabinandati Lokoyam Vamma Badramma Sammatam Maya, by me. Nirupita, settled. Tubhyam, for you. Pati, husband. Atma, of the mind. Samadina, by meditation. Na, never. Abhinandati, welcome. Loka, the people. Ayam, these. Tvam, you. Abhadram, inauspicious. Asammatam, unacceptable. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The king of the Yavanas replied, after much consideration, I have arrived at a husband for you. Actually, as far as everyone is concerned, you are inauspicious and mischievous. Since no one likes you, how can anyone accept you as his wife? Purport. After much consideration, the king of the Yavanas decided to make the best use of a bad bargain. Kalakanya was a bad bargain, and no one liked her, but everything can be used for the service of the Lord. Thus, the king of the Yavanas tried to utilize her for some purpose. The purpose has already been explained, that is, Kalyakanya as Jara, the invalidity of old age, can be used to arouse a sense of fear in people so that they will prepare for the next life by engaging in Krishna consciousness. So, who wants to get old and become invalid? Nobody wants to become old and invalid. Everyone would rather stay young and healthy. But what can be done? We're being dragged by time to old age, invalidity, and death. Dehi nosmenyata dehe komaram jovaram jara tatare hantara praptir didastrata namuhyati. As the embodied soul continually passes in this body, from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the time of death. The self-realized souls are not bewildered by such a change. So, for one who is not self-realized, old age and validity is a very fearful thing. But for those who are self-realized, it is a piece of cake. It's a launching pad for the spiritual world. For such a self-realized person, old age and validity is actually a very exciting thing. It's like in the university when you get near the end of your senior year, you're getting close to graduation. When you're in the university, when you're in your senior year, and you're getting close to graduation. Everyone looks forward to their senior year. They have that in India, in America they call it the senior year. You're in the university, you have the first year, the second year, the third year, the fourth year is called your senior year. Senior. S-E-N-I-O-R. Senior. 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 You're about to graduate. It's considered a very enviable position. So for one who is actually Krishna conscious, invalidity, old age, it's a very enviable position to be in. Enviable, yes. It's like I have a godbrother, beloved godbrother, he's dying now here in Vrindavan of terminal cancer. So I may feel very sorry, oh, that poor godbrother, he's dying from terminal cancer. But actually, he's more fortunate than me. Very soon he will be with Krishna. And here I am, suffering in the modes of material nature. You see? So in this way, for someone who is Krishna conscious, death is no impediment. Just like the very nice example is given of Dhruva Maharaj. He had achieved spiritual perfection. He had achieved a spiritual perfection. He was a pure devotee of the Lord. And now it's time for his death to come. So the time of his passing, a wonderful airplane came from the spiritual world. It was not Air India or Jet Airways. It was a wonderful airplane coming from the spiritual world to take him back to Krishna Loka. And as the airplane was coming, death personified also came running. In this world, everyone is afraid of death. But Dhruva was not afraid of death. It's like when you get into an airplane, there's some ramp or some steps you go on to get up into the airplane. So, he simply stepped on the head of death. And got into the Vaikuntha airplane. You see? So for a Vaishnava, death is like that. Oh, my dear death, you have come. Thank you very much. Now I will step on your head and enter into Golok. You see? So death is actually welcome for a devotee. When my death comes, I have no fear. You see? Because I am fully absorbed in Krishna's service. Whether I serve here or I serve in a different world, it doesn't matter to me. It's service is service. That's all. So death simply means a change of service. Death means a change of service. I've been serving in the preaching department, now I will serve in the pujari department. So death simply means you switch from one department to another department. That's a... As my godbrother said one time, he said, moving on to bigger and better things. Moving on, my godbrother Balabhadra Bhattacharya, when I got transferred to another temple, he said, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're moving on to bigger and better things. So death simply means moving on to bigger and better things. But if you're not Krishna conscious, death is a big, big problem. You see? Now you have to face your karma. Therefore, the intelligent person, he enters the plane called akarma. He enters the plane called akarma, where there are no reactions for one's actions. That plane of akarma is called bhakti yoga, or devotional service to the Lord. One may say, well, how I can do good devotional service? I'm a government worker working for the government of India. How I can possibly do devotional service? Don't I have to give up my occupation to become a devotee of the Lord? Well, Arjuna made that mistake. He was thinking, to become the Lord's devotee, I must give up my occupation. And Krishna said, no, you remain in your occupation. But you offer your occupation in my service. Yat kadoshi, yat karoshi, yat ashjasi, yat jahosi dadati, yat tapasyasi konte, yat tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you give away, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, engage that in my service, O son of Kunti. So this is the secret, how to become deathless. Actually, you're already deathless. Did you know that? You're an eternal being. You have a body that never gets sick, that never gets old, never dies. If you're thinking anything different, you're misidentifying yourself with a gross lump called the material body. That's a foolish thing to do. Are you your dhoti? Are you your sari? No, you are not dhoti or sari. You're the wearer of the dhoti or the sari. Or perhaps blue jeans. Blue jeans?
Is it?
Are you the blue jeans?
Is it?
No, you're the wearer of the blue jeans. So in the same way, you're the wearer of the dhoti, the sari, or the blue jeans. You are simply the wearer of that body, that's all. When your dhoti gets old and ragged and torn, do you cry? When your sari becomes withered and faded, do you cry? No, you just get a new. It's a good excuse to get a new one. If you got a nice new dhoti, a nice new sari, a new pair of blue jeans, you see? You don't cry and weep and beat your head against the wall. Oh no, my dhoti got torn. Oh. So in the same way that you're detached from your dhoti, your sari, or your blue jeans, you need to detach yourself from your material body. This is called intelligence. And human life is meant for becoming intelligent. If you tell the dog that he's not his dog's body, he will simply bark. If you tell the monkey he's not his monkey's body, he will simply steal your bananas or your sunglasses. But the human being, he has advanced intelligence. This is why it is stated in Vedanta Sutra, Tato Brahma Jigyasa. Now you have a human form, utilize it to realize what is the absolute truth. You may say, what's the advantage of all this? I'd rather watch the football game on television. Why are you engaging my mind in all this stuff? I'd rather watch the football game on television. Why are you telling me about all this philosophy? Well, I'll tell you while I'm telling it to you. Because that soccer game will not save you the time of death. You see, but this knowledge will, you see. This knowledge will save you. This soccer game will not save you. This knowledge will save you the time of death. I do not want that you should go down to the animal kingdom on your next birth. I beg to inform you, the present day civilization, they are engaging like animals. They're all becoming animals in their next births. They are not living as human beings. They're simply running after sense gratification, that's all. Where can I eat? Where can I mate? How can I defend my eating and mating? And then let me have a good sleep also. This eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, these are simply animal propensities. If all you do is eat, sleep, mate, and defend, you are simply an animal in a human body, that's all. And by your karma, you will become an animal in your next birth. But if you hear from Guru, If you hear from scriptures, if you hear from the sadhus, that you're not that body, you're an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one with God. You're not that body. You're an eternal spiritual being, and you're qualitatively one with God. If you will understand and accept this divine knowledge, and then practice the science of how to revive your actual identity, that science is called Bhakti Yoga or Krishna Consciousness. If you will do this, you'll have an amazing awakening within your heart. This is like the sun rising in the morning. The Krishna sun will arise within your heart. This is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. In chapter 6, text number 30. Yo mam pashati sarvatra sarvanshamai pashyati tashaham na pranashami satchamena pranashyati. From one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Someone may ask, who is this Krishna anyway? I've heard that he's a Hindu god. I heard that he's a myth. As Gandhi said, there was no historical person Krishna that actually ever lived. So what is the true facts about Krishna? Actually, Krishna is a real historical person. He did appear 5,000 years ago here in India. And he's actually the source of everything. Everything that exists is Krishna's energy. Just like the sun has expanded itself by its energy all over the universe. Everything you see is the expanded energy of Krishna. And you also are a particle of that expanded energy. We are all part and parcel of Krishna. This is who we actually are. And someone says, well, where did you come from? It's not that you came from your mother and father when they had your baby. That simply describes where your body came from. But remember, that body is not you. So where did you actually come from? The spirit soul that's inhabiting that body. And that is answered by Krishna. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. So you're actually an emanation of Krishna. Just as the particle of sunshine has heat and light, sharing the qualities of heat and light with the sun globe, you, the living entity, share the qualities with Krishna of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Your nature is you're eternal. You are full of knowledge and you're full of bliss. So let me ask you this, are you experiencing full knowledge right now? Are you swimming in an ocean of ignorance? Are you tasting unlimited bliss right now? Are you being bounced around by the existential blues? Blues? It's an American word. Existential lamentation. The fact is we're suffering right now. And we are ignorant. Isn't it? We are ignorant and we're miserable, isn't it? Yeah. We're miserable. We're ignorant. But that's unnatural. Our real position is we're full of knowledge and bliss. So by the system described in the Bhagavad Gita of Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness, you regain your original, fully cognizant, blissful nature. This is why you're inviting the whole world to join this process. But people are distracted by so many things. This thing, that thing, their smartphones, so many things, they are distracted. But if we can actually tune in and understand our true identities, you see, we will tap into a reservoir of unlimited bliss. We will tap into a reservoir. Of unlimited bliss. Just imagine if you had so much bliss in your heart that you could just spill that bliss out of your heart and make the whole world happy. You had so much light, so much knowledge, so much enlightenment in your heart, you could just spill that out in the whole world and make the whole world enlightened with Krishna consciousness. Actually, you do. You just got to awaken your Krishna consciousness, that's all. One Krishna conscious person can enlighten the whole universe. That's how powerful Krishna consciousness is. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada explains, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking and planning how to deliver the entire suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. And even if he is not successful in doing so, his perfection is guaranteed. And anyone who follows him is guaranteed to achieve perfection. So we have a few minutes left. I'd be delighted if some of you have some questions for me. I see some coming now in the papers. Very good. Okay, question number one. You were mentioning yat kadoshi yadashnasi verse. Please explain to me what is in this verse is the meaning of offering or give away. Yes. So if you want to give in charity, distribute prasadam. You can distribute ordinary food, but that ordinary food has karma. So if you want to distribute food stuff, distribute prasadam. And this way you will liberate those persons who receive the prasadam. Why Krishna is super soul residing in the heart of a living entity does not banish the things that are not good for the progression and devotional service for devotee. Why doesn't Krishna just take away all the impediments? Just like we have four rules: no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Why Krishna doesn't just take all the women away so there's no women anymore? Or from the ladies' perspective, why didn't he just get rid of all the men? So there's no temptation. You see? Of course, what would the gays do? I know that's another matter. But... Those who are gay, then what do you do with them? But and then why don't you just take close all the liquor shops? There's no more liquor available. Why is Krishna leave these things here to tempt us, one could ask? The thing is, every living entity has free will. Krishna is giving you the free will to serve him or to try to imitate him. Krishna is not going to take away your free will. Because if you don't have free will, what are you? You're simply a machine. Is it fun to associate with machines? Is it? No, we want people to associate with. So people means free will. Therefore, Krishna gives us the free choice to follow these practices or not follow them. When hearing criticism about sex life in the scriptures, if we are planning to enter the renounced order of life, it becomes very difficult to get away from disrespectful thought toward those who are married. Will it result in me leaving the renounced order as a reaction of committing such mental offense? Somebody is thinking that they want to hold on and become a sannyasi, but they're thinking, yeah, those householders are all just degraded and nonsense because they can't control their senses. So he's warning that this is mental offense against the householders will ruin his renunciation. There are householders who strictly avoid sex life. Just like my wife and I, we've never had sex. So, to avoid sex life in the presence of the opposite sex, that means they're a better sannyasi. You're very proud. I am strict brahmachari. I never have sex, you see. But you're living in the brahmachari ashram. There's no facility for sex. So don't become puffed up. You should understand, those householders who are living with the object of sex life but not having sex, they're more advanced than you. In this way, you should always have great respect for the renounced householders. The last line of the purport says, fear is used to engage in Krishna consciousness. Is that not hampering with the soul's free will? Is that not hampering with the soul's free will? Krishna never hampers with the free will. So that the fear that comes at the time of death is a special benediction from Krishna. Help us become sober to get out of this material world. How to attain Guru's mercy to always be involved in Krishna consciousness. It's very simple. Simply beg for it. My dear Guru Maharaj, please bless me. I can always be purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness 24/7. If you keep praying for it and praying for it and praying for it, you'll get it. You just pray for it once to make a show, and then you go about your normal sense gratification consciousness, you're not going to get it. You have to constantly beg your spiritual master to keep you absorbed in pure devotional service. How does one attain the state of mind to chant Hare Krishna all the time, even while sleeping? If you'll always chant it when you're awake, then you'll naturally chant it when you're asleep. So Prabhupada always said at least 16 rounds. So always keep yourself absorbed as much as possible in chanting these sweet, sweet names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. I mean, you're not chanting Hare Krishna, talk about Krishna. Or hear about Krishna. Or bow down to Krishna. Or absorb yourself in serving Krishna. Or pray to Krishna. In this way, keep yourself always connected with Krishna at every waking minute, and then I guarantee you, you'll dream about Him every night. I want to love Krishna like Radharani. How do I attain that state? You will never attain that state. Sorry to say. Only Radharani can love Krishna like Radharani. Nobody else can do that. But you can purely love Krishna according to your own relationship with Krishna. But if you want a little hint about Radharani's mood, I'll give you a little hint. If you want to really embrace the mood of Radharani, here's what you have to do. Prabhupada told us, what is the mood of Radharani? That any time a devotee comes and prays, my dear Mother Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna. Radharani will then tell Krishna, my dear Krishna, just see this devotee here, he is a better devotee than me. So you want to be in the mood of Radharani, you should always glorify the devotees as being better than you. You're my Prabhu. Or you're my mother. It's the same thing. You're my superior. That's the mood of Radharani. Every devotee is her superior. So if you treat the ladies as you would treat your mother, you see. You see, and you honor all of the male devotees. They are my Prabhus, they're my masters. You see. Then you're learning how to be in that mood of Radharani. Completely humble mood, you see. Okay. Krishna created the material world and the spiritual world. Why has He put us all in the material world? Do you think Krishna put you in the material world? You're wrong. Krishna did not put you in the material world. You ran away from home. You came here out of your own stupidity. It's like you run away from home and you blame your parents for kicking you out of the house. They didn't kick you out of the house. You ran away from home, you rascal. And you want to blame your parents? So don't blame Krishna. That Krishna put me in this material world. He made a big mistake. You rascal. You left Krishna's abode out of your own foolish desire to want to enjoy independently from Krishna. Because you so much wanted the illusion that you were God, Krishna gave you that out of His kindness. Srila Prabhupada gives this example. A little girl, she's looking up in the evening sky. A little girl is looking out the window in the evening sky. And she sees a beautiful moon shining in the sky. She says, Mataji, Mataji, give me, give me. She's a spoiled little girl. Whatever she wants, the mother always gives it to her, you see. So now she's begging the mother for the moon. Can the mother give the moon? Nahi. It's not possible. But the mother wants to satisfy the little child. So she hands the child a mirror with the reflection of the moon in it. And the child is holding the mirror thinking, oh my Mataji, she loves me so much. Now the moon is mine. Does she have the moon? No. It's just the reflection of the moon. You wanted to be God. I also had the same stupid mistake. We wanted to be God. So badly, like that little girl wanting the moon, you see. Now, can Krishna make us God? Can Krishna make us the source of Krishna, that Krishna came from us? It's not possible. Krishna is the source of everything. But Krishna can give us the illusion that, yes, I am God. I am the center of everything. Everything revolves around me. Krishna can give us that illusion. And that, when you have that illusion, that's called the material world. So the material world is Krishna's special blessing to you to give you the illusion that you are indeed a God. So you wanted it, and now you got it. Now hopefully you realize you made a big mistake. I got to get out of this illusion. I am not God. Jivara Svarupahai Krishnara Nityadas. I am the eternal servant of God. Take advantage of this process. Put your faith in this process. Associate with devotees of the Lord. take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master by initiation. Be fully obedient to your Guru Maharaj. And then the dirt will come out of your heart gradually, gradually, gradually. You'll develop a sweet, sweet taste for the holy name of Krishna. You become totally attached to Krishna, addicted to Krishna. You'll have the awakening of ecstatic emotion within your heart. And then you will have the full-blown awakening of Krishna Prema. So we thank you all very much for coming today for Bhagavatam class. Take these teachings very seriously and make your life perfect. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.